Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold back here in 2025. Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. People starting to get back in the swing of things. It's good to be back, have the full show together. Thanks again to Vinny Pasquantino for joining us. We'll have our regular Thursday guest, Dane and Hughes, join us about an hour from now, 12:10. Former Chiefs wide receiver, and we'll talk about how he thinks the Chiefs are going to handle Sunday's game against the Broncos. And still, it's a rivalry game. You're still going in there trying to win, but also you're being smart about it. And that's why we all know Carson Wentz is going to be starting on Sunday. So we'll talk to Dane and Hughes about that. We'll get to the trash of the day here in 20 minutes or so as well. Don't forget, the show is not only on your radio dial, but you can check it on the Odyssey app and video if you want to watch the show.
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, that's Facebook, right. Subscribe.
Is that a new ruse? It is. Men's basketball? Basketball,
I told you, I got that
crew
one,
is
the
like
one from Maid Mob.
Yeah, they're playing their first conference game of the year.
The old school on the back.
Oh, that is cool. Okay, yeah, that's, I can tell it's new. Usually just have that jacket or whatever that says Kansas City. That's a cool one.
Old school room.
The Ruse are in action tonight. $15 tickets or whatever I saw, $12 tickets. Ruse taking on South Dakota. When are we doing this thing? Where are we going?
Yeah,
we're
going
to do a Cody and Gold day at a Ruse game.
I think you did say you wanted to wait till conference play, right?
Here we are.
Yeah.
They've won like four or five in a row, haven't they?
Yeah, they're on a much better pace than that earlier stretch where I was like, uh-oh, are things falling apart for UMKC?
Okay.
But that Wichita State game, I mean, that was in the middle of a four-game winning streak. So, yeah, tonight against South Dakota.
Just saying, Ruse, let's hook something up. Let's make something happen here.
Be fun. 7 o'clock. I mean, this Saturday's weather-wise looking a little bit rough.
I'm talking about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
A little late for tonight, but tonight would be the one we should have planned, actually.
Yeah, probably, in fairness. We'll get other home games. Maybe that South Dakota State game, January 23rd. A little late January action.
There you go.
The pregame speech from Mincy. Hey, that one guy who promised you guys a bunch of NIL money, you got to show up for him tonight,
even
all right?
Even though he probably legally can't do so and definitely can't do so as a member of the university.
You're just going to walk in there just holding stacks of dollar, ones would be really
this
weird,
could be
but
yours
stacks of money.
This could be yours if you score the most points
Cody's
tonight.
Cody's going to hold up stacks.
$100
He's going to hold up. Make this free throw.
We're doing it the old way. Old $100 handshakes for wins, you know?
You can start putting money in McDonald's bags and just handing it out to people at halftime.
Professor free throw challenge, and they'll have the professors. You can compete in a free throw challenge at halftime.
I've never been invited to do that. Semester starts in like 3 weeks, man.
There you go.
I gotta put a syllabus back together again. I'll just reuse the one from the semester.
Why would you do a whole new syllabus? Just repeat that thing.
I gotta change a few things. I didn't think the class ran flawlessly or anything, you know?
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the Chiefs, though, in this path. Now, you said when we were going over the show today, you said you think this is maybe the easier path for Kansas City. And I don't know. You didn't tell me the full reason. My guess is it more than just the fact that they're not on the road throughout the playoffs, or what is it?
Sure. I guess a lot of this is like the additional pressure I think this team should feel, not just because of the three-peat, but because this is set up as essentially a layup for them unless something changes. There are only three good teams in the AFC. Three. You only have to face one, like between Buffalo and Baltimore. One of those two teams I still think will make the AFC title game. And right now, your potential matchups in the second round are the Chargers, a team that has beaten one playoff team, the Broncos, who have beaten two playoff teams, I guess another if they beat Kansas City on Sunday, although we all agree that won't count, against the rest of the order. Doesn't matter if Cincinnati makes. You know how many playoff teams Cincinnati's beaten? Like one, right? Everybody at the bottom end of this bracket, the Texans are playing horribly, and the Steelers are not a threat at all. You just knocked them out of the park on Christmas Day. This is the easiest playoff field I think they have had in their entire Super Bowl run because of the lack of depth in the AFC, the fact that they'll have the bye and will be at home, and only one team gets the bye, a million reasons why. But this is very simply the easiest path to the Super Bowl they've had. So, like, it would be even more disappointing to not at least play in that game, knowing that all you have to do is bring it once. one time and you're going to get a month off. And by the way, I'll just be very clear. I know people, that's always going to be a talking point. And you and I have talked about rest versus rust too. If there is a team who can take a month off of football and be fine, it's this one. If this were any other team, I would tell them not to take 30 consecutive days off of their job from football and then try to go play football. If it were any other team on the planet, I would tell you this amount of rest would be ludicrous. For the Chiefs, absolutely not a concern of mine.
I think that goes back to they have shown us time and time again. They know the level they have to get to play-wise to go and succeed in the postseason and win in these games that matter as much as any game possible. They've been in those spots. The rest versus rust thing is always a popular conversation. I think at times people also will use examples of other teams, and I agree with you that the Chiefs, you can't compare them to some of these other teams. Or if you want to use college football, for example, and what's happened with teams with buys this time, I don't think you can use college football teams having bad first quarters and halves because they had a bye as the same as an NFL team. We're talking about 28, 32-year-old NFL vets versus 18, 19-year-old kid that gets 3 weeks of free time. You know, there's a difference between those. So I don't think you can use that example. But for some teams, the rest stuff is interesting. I think for this team, given the early bye week, given the key pieces that have been part of this, the same head coach that has been part of this and handled these situations, I'm not worried about a team that's played as many games as they have over the last 2-3 years of the rust aspect of it. Not at all.
No, for this team, I just don't know you imagine. But like, I mean, go back through the other playoff fields. And you know, my argument's always been, I think the people who are like, I want to beat the real teams on my way. Idiots. Bad decision. You want the easy, you know what you want? You want somehow the Bills and the Ravens to both lose, or one of them to lose in the first round and then the other one get upset by a team.
Oh,
in the
I
second
would love
round.
For a 7-seed team to upset the Bills. That would
Nothing
be incredible.
Nothing would make me happier than for those teams to go down, making it the easiest possible path on the way to the Super Bowl. What I'm saying is I went back 5 years. This is the easiest path they've been given because nobody I think they'll face in the second round other than Cincinnati is a legitimate, like a threat to beat you. I do think Cincinnati is a legitimate threat to beat you, but huge issue there, which is they then will have knocked out the Bills. So if you're telling me you have to either face the Bills in your building or face Cincinnati, guess what? Cincy by a mile. And so the playoff feels just lining up so perfect.
The obvious thing though, with the path that looks like with the path that the Chiefs are going to have is they're going to play one less game than everybody else to get to the Super Bowl. And they get to play at home. I mean, these are obvious observations, but still, that's huge. Yeah. I know last year the whole story was Mahomes having to go on the road for the postseason for the first time, and we all know he aced that test, and he did just that, and he got to a Super Bowl. But still, if you had a choice, you'll choose playing two games to get to a Super Bowl versus three. You'll choose those two games to be at home versus going to Buffalo or Baltimore. That's why I would argue just the path is perceived to be easier this go around. It's just a numbers game more than anything else. And this year they played three games in 11 days. They had a week six bye. All these things, this is all why I think this year is setting up better. Does it guarantee them a Super Bowl win? Of course not. But if you're saying like the mountain is too hard to get to climb, that was last year. That was the take from everybody nationally last year. This year, are people going to make the same mistake when it does look like an easier path? That is already happening, I would argue.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's not a more, you brought up just potential 7 seeds and everything. There is not a more annoying narrative out there right now, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's driven me crazy for the last 10 days. The narrative of, you know who the Chiefs don't want to face, Cody? They don't want to take on
That's what Drew's
Joe
been saying for 2 months.
Burrow. And it's driven me crazy for 2 months.
Drew, you've been on this for 2 months.
It is annoying. I think it's also just inaccurate. And it's not just Drew. This is a national narrative out there now.
I don't even have to say anything anymore.
Yeah, people are doing it for you, man. I just think it's wrong. Like I do a show on Saturdays here through Odyssey, our betting network that we have, BetQL, and I host a show with someone who's in DC. He's an impartial individual in this conversation in terms of Kansas City versus Cincy. And he was saying, you guys in Kansas City, I know you guys don't want to see Cincy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And him and I had a whole back and forth argument about it. I just, so much of that is based on something still from the prior two seasons, whether it was AFC title game or the stretch before. People forget the Chiefs have won three straight against Cincy. And I understand Joe Burrow didn't play at all three, but they've won three straight against Cincinnati.
Since 2022.
Yeah, Cincinnati is not a threat when the Chiefs have won 21 of their last 22. Take Cincy out of it. No team, this idea that you're trying to avoid, you're fearful of a team, that doesn't exist right now for this football team. Are we still doing that? This team that's won 21 of 22 games, that's gone back-to-back, that had to go on the road last year for the playoffs, that's the team that they're fearful of anybody? So the Cincinnati narrative is hilarious to me. Everybody so badly wants them in, and I get it from an entertainment perspective, but this notion of like Kansas City, you know who doesn't want to play them? Buffalo. That might be who doesn't want to play them, because Cincy would be the seventh seed who would then go and play them versus Denver. That's who maybe I'll buy in the argument of like, hey, they don't want to see Cincy. Maybe Buffalo. But Cincinnati is a 9-win football team if they win Saturday. They're a defense that has led them to be 9-8 if they win on Saturday. That's the big, the one part of this whole equation everybody's just automatically assuming Cincy's going to win Saturday night against Pittsburgh. I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure either. And again, the biggest part of this piece is Buffalo's clearly the second best team in the AFC this year. And if Cincinnati were to make the playoffs and then win, that would mean I would not have to face Buffalo. That's
be great.
A win. That's the ultimate win. I don't have to take on Buffalo. People are also just delusional, because while Cincinnati is on a 4-game winning streak, giving them the opportunity to even be in the playoffs, the 4-game winning streak is against Dallas and Cooper Rush. The Tennessee Titans. Who's starting for them right now?
Rudolph.
Mason. Well, he wasn't starting that game. Who was starting for them?
It was Levis in that one.
Will Levis.
If we're six turnovers.
The Cleveland Browns, who were at the time, I think, starting DTR. And the Denver Broncos starting a rookie Bo Nix. Wow, you really did it.
They beat one playoff team this year. This whole year, Cody. God. One playoff team this entire year.
Just that one win against Denver?
That's it.
Because the three games before that, they lost three straight times to Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Pittsburgh. So they couldn't beat a playoff team. They lost to Philly 2 weeks before that. They got on a winning streak when they started facing bad NFL football. They're not a good team. This isn't to say that they can never be a threat, or that Joe Burrow's a good enough quarterback.
Well, he's been playing great this year.
I don't want to face good quarterbacks, generally speaking. But they are not a good team. They are a mediocre. They would be a bad team if Joe Burrow hadn't played as well as he did.
They win three games.
Yeah. Maybe. They're 100%. Which means they're not a good team. Yeah.
I'm with you. And even though that's true, and I'm 100% with you that they would be a 3-4 win football team without Joe Burrow. He's been sensational. Still, though, there's this, and this is fine, I guess it's because Chase and Higgins and Burrow, like, they're just a fun offense to watch. And I would agree with that. There's been just weird, like, national push, though, for like Burrow to win MVP and all that. Like, what are we doing? We're just trying to change the rules. So I know QB wins and loss is not all on the QB, right? Like, there's factors like a bad defense.
Sure.
But since when were we trying to actually make cases for 8-win football teams? That's what they are right now. 8-win football teams, that their quarterback should be most valuable. That's just crazy. Like, he's valuable. They would be a 3-win team, but like, you can't not make the playoffs and actually, with a serious face, try to make an MVP case. I'm sorry. That's like, it's one of the it's crazy. Weird. Honestly, it's kind of mind boggling. What is going on? Is there like, are there NFL media people that for some, like, have a ton of money on Joe Burrow to have won MVP? And they're
I think it's because it's an actual open race.
It's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen for MVP. That's it.
I think also part of it is you have players openly saying in interviews, Joe Burrow should be the MVP. Like, you have multiple people saying, hey, if they make the playoffs, he deserves to be in, where I think a lot of the national narrative is, if players are thinking it, then we should be thinking. And if you look at how he plays, and if you look statistically at how bad the offensive line has been and the defense have been compared to that of the Ravens and the Bills in particular, because it's a Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson race, that's why they're making that case.
They have put up the same numbers as Joe Burrow, but they're going to win the division and they're in the playoffs. Like, I mean,
correct. But if you look at the comparison, is the offensive line is ranked badly. Both defense, the Bengals defense ranks 27th to 30th in every category. So he single-handedly more so has to win the games. That's where the national narrative is coming from in regards to why he's even in the race.
Sure. But offensively, I would say offensively, they all have something that their team does better. The Bills have the best offensive line. The Ravens have the best Bengals have the best weapons.
Yeah.
And the Ravens have the best running game. So like, they all have an advantage offensively, or disadvantages offensively, where, you know, Josh Allen is throwing to Keon Coleman a huge chunk of the year,
100%.
Having to do it without his number one guy. Like, I just, the idea that the Chiefs would be fearful of anyone is kind of comical at this point. Now that they have won 15 games this year, despite all of their trouble,
21-22.
Now,
man.
Some team, like, and I get it. They play Cincinnati week four of the season and beat them by one because of a pass interference call. Or
both teams are way different now than they were in week four. I mean, if we're going to use the argument so are the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are playing their best football of the season. So it's just been, it's been an annoying national narrative.
Yeah, it was week two.
It's part of the reason why I hope they don't get in as well, because the week or so of that is going to be nauseating, although Buffalo fans can deal with that for a full week if that's the case.
Yeah, if I were the Bills, I would not want to play the Bengals.
You said you talked about Cincinnati when they were like at or about 500.
I said I was done talking about them they get back to 500, and here they are. So we're talking about them.
They're back.
And they have according to, if you just do the odds of like parlay the scenarios that have to happen. Cincy win, Chiefs loss. Cincy win, Chiefs win. And Dolphin loss, it's a 5% chance of happening.
Carson Wentz, there is no...
If you do the parlay of it, 5% chance.
There is no... I promise you, there is no bigger Carson Wentz fan in this city than me.
Carson Wentz fan.
You should be an Aaron Rodgers fan. You should also... You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I need
it's,
them to go it, back in the
if it was
the
just
vault.
If it was just the Chiefs winning, then you probably have like a 30% chance to get in. But it's not. You need the Steelers...
Yeah.
This is where I'm like, I want the drama Sunday, I guess, but like...
Yeah, it's more fun.
The Steelers are not playing great. We all acknowledge that, but
no. It's a division game.
We're just acting like the Steelers are just going to lay down. Against the.
I wish they would.
Cincy. I don't think that's going to happen.
Because the division game, you don't know who's going to win. But yeah, I don't think they're just going to give. They still have a chance to win the division and get a game at home.
Yeah, they're not resting anybody.
Pittsburgh has everything to play for, and so they're still going to continue to play both teams at their peak. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to take a team serious in that way. And I'm with you. Like at this point, when you are a three-time Super Bowl champion of Patrick Mahomes, the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion, and you're still somehow for a while weren't getting enough respect as a now 15-2 at worst, maybe 16-1 team. Like they're going to go down. Like if they win the Super Bowl this year, this is going to go down as the single greatest team of all time somehow. Despite
it'll be
all
the greatest
the things,
dynasty in sports history.
Yeah. Despite all the things we knew went wrong this season. They will have, after winning back-to-back Super Bowls and suffering all the losses they did this year, finished 19-1 with a Super Bowl title for the third consecutive year. They will be, as you mentioned.
How many
better than the 90s, but they will be the single greatest, because how hard it is to do in the NFL, the single greatest dynasty in sports North American sports history. I don't want to speak for the overseas. I don't know.
The Compton Bowls was the one that I was waiting for. How many did they win? They won... Three out of four, because they three-peated, MJ retired, came back, and then they won three again.
Yeah, but in the NBA, that is a far easier prospect. Pre-NBA, pre-salary, they can have two of the top 10 players in the sport on the team together. Like in the NFL, one thing it already tells you is multiple teams in the NBA have three-peated before. Multiple, not just one franchise, multiple. How many have done it in the NFL? Zero. None have three-peated as Super Bowl champions. That tells you how difficult it is in this sport in particular. Baseball's really tough, too, because 162 games and a million things can go wrong. And part of it is in the NFL is like the physical nature of the sport. You have to dodge so much in order just to have a chance to do it.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
So we know we're now in 2025, and with that, there were some viral trends of 2024 that were compiled, viral travel trends in particular. See if you think any of these are going to carry over to 2025. Have you heard of some of these? Because I saw this article, and there's a couple I didn't even know were a thing. So the first one is something called gate lice. Now, no, not the nasty lice in your hair or something.
Oh, okay, God, I was like, what?
Gate lice. First of all, what it means refers to passengers who cut lines in the hope of boarding a flight early. American Airlines recently announced it's expanding its technology to counter gate lice at over 100 airports. Basically,
if you have an assigned seat, why are you trying to get on early?
The system would audibly flag passengers when they attempt to board the plane before his or her designated assignment is called. Will automatically reject the person's ticket. You guys know our old producer,
he used to do this a lot. Southwest.
Oh my God! He purposely put on headphones and basically play dumb and cut people. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They're cutting down. They're cracking down on this thing.
Good. Also, why are you trying to be on a plane sooner?
But even on Southwest, too, is also changing their boarding policies this year. But on Southwest, like, look, if I'm B20 and you're B19, or, you know, you're B22 and you're in front of me, I'm not going to say anything if you're one or two spots in front of me. It's the person that I'm in A40 and you're B10 and you're trying to sneak up in front of me. Then there's a problem. But if we're like four
A40 and 42,
whatever, we're two spots, not the end of the world. But it's the problem is when someone's intentionally getting into A-boarding when they know they're C. And it's like, come on, man.
Not familiar with that one. What else? Right.
Other one called Mattress Runs.
Don't know what that is.
Mattress Runs. It is a fad that had people booking hotel rooms in order to earn free nights or accumulate status points, so their Marriott points or whatever. Oh. They're apparently not completing their stays, yet they still reserve rooms in the hopes of racking up rewards. The vice president of Travelmation, a U.S.-based travel agency, said it's more for people who are on the cusp and tend to find themselves there every year. Look, you're paying for the room. I guess you're taking rooms that someone might need, but also if you're paying for the room, like, do I care?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
Now, the property cares because you're not going to be spending money at the restaurant, the bar, amenities, and things like that.
All right.
Another one is called Flying Naked. Have you ever flown naked?
Can't say that I have.
Have you ever flown naked?
I have not.
Is this like the, when we were talking, it was called something different when I mentioned it on the air once.
Flying Naked is a trend in which passengers fly without checked or carry-on luggage, bringing only essentials like a phone charger and a wallet.
I'm sorry, are you only going somewhere for a day? But sure, it'd be fine, but like, are you just buying clothes where you go? What's your plan for getting back? You're just going to wear the same clothes? This only works if you're only going to a place for a day or two.
Yeah, because if you're going to, let's say you're going to Vegas for the weekend, are you wearing trunks underneath your shorts and then you're just wearing, how are you doing? You buying cheap clothes at the dollar store? What are you doing?
This is insane.
That would be an interesting way to try. I think just doing it once would actually be kind of interesting. Like, hey, we're going to get there and then we're going to thrift shop for clothes, essentially. Like, we're going to go to, a local thrift and just get clothes and then we'll be done with them.
Last one, seat squatters. We all are familiar with squatting with the homes and everything, which was ridiculous. Something called seat squatters on planes. They refer to airline passengers who occupy seats not assigned to them, hoping to secure a more desirable spot without paying extra fees.
You happen
to see that you paid on certain flights, you got to pay for the aisle seat. Someone's in the aisle seat and it's your aisle seat. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you're getting up. I'm not going to let you just sit there if it's my seat. Definitely not.
The other one, I see one more on here. They called sleep divorce.
Sleep divorce, yeah. Or couples choose to sleep separately to enhance their sleep quality.
Like the Flintstones, basically, is what they're trying to do.
You're like, honey,
that's like a 60s sitcom, dude. Twin beds in a room.
Snoring too loud.
We just push them together? Different rooms or different beds?
I don't know. You're snoring too loud. You're sleeping in another room.
Dang.
I mean, that just
that's weird.
I mean, I'm assuming that works for some people. I don't want to make a judgment call based on that. We have not, in the Tap household, succumbed to sleep divorce yet. I don't know about you, Drew. Are you guys?
No.
Be kind of tougher in an apartment, yeah, too. What if you just be on the couch all the
what
time?
What would you do if all of a sudden, let's say, and I don't know if you do or not. I don't remember because we've done the trips before, but we've all fallen asleep and crashed so quickly it hasn't mattered. If all of a sudden you ended up being like the worst snorer ever, let's just say that happened point in 5 years from now as you get older, whatever, and you're like, and your wife legit couldn't sleep,
would try to get like
you'd get
masks
like a mask. Yeah,
you like would, if it's sleep apnea, I try to get that. If I need the nose strip or I would try to solve the things through remedy before I'm like, let's just get two separate rooms to sleep.
Of course. You see this text? Someone says their girl and them are 23 and 21 years old. They sleep in separate rooms. It's great.
Huh, you're 20. Interesting.
So, no like, chance. 23, I mean, 21, no chance.
So, like, wait, so you, like. Okay. Okay. So you're not Drew's neighbors, but you could be.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that activity takes place and then you go.
So, you guys go in one bed, have your activity, and then you go
do
sleep
you trade
in
off
separate
which bed?
That's my follow up.
I'm just curious.
That was my follow up. Do you guys, like, yeah.
It feels like it would make the spur of the moment a much more difficult transition to make.
I think you're limiting yourself. That's all.
But after 100%.
But after you have sex and you're like, you got to get out of the room. You got to go sleep over there.
I don't think you say that. I think you just hope that they're going to go to the bed that you've clearly established. You sleep in two separate rooms.
And it's
rooms.
Your wife. It's not just somebody you don't want to have any time with.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Man.
Okay.
I guess it also depends on people's nighttime routine. Like, my wife and I might watch a show in bed or something, everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might continue to sit. Then all of a sudden, like, at what point do we just decide time to
sleep?
Or do you get, like, two separate, like, do you just get two separate beds in the same? That doesn't solve the snoring issue. That's just maybe if somebody, if anyone's ever slept in the
you see this
bed like a toddler.
913-586-7965. Someone says, anyone who does this, the wife/woman is cheating. I've seen it happen to multiple people.
Hmm.
So it's sort of like you did at the tour guide, Gold. That's way different. It's not my wife.
Hold on, it's
not wife or girlfriend.
That did pop into the back of my head.
Yeah, that's different. Everybody's been in that circumstance at some point, whether it was in college or whenever, where it's like you had your thing and it's like you'd like the person to leave. We've all been there before. Not your wife. It's an uncomfortable conversation.
A lot of ways it'd probably be less uncomfortable to have with somebody who you've already established separate sleeping.
So this person responded. They said they basically do it in one bed and then they go back to their own rooms. So do you go back and forth about which bed, or is there like a set?
That's what Drew wanted to know. Is it a set bed or two separate?
Someone says that the same person said they have
fair game.
Same person said they have two beds hooked together because they want separate sheets.
That's why. Well, that's kind of is that like a sleep number?
That's interesting.
Is it like a sheets, a sleep number bed?
Someone says you
separate
guys are,
sheets? What about the blanket? Yeah.
Sheets
top blanket's the same?
Sheets different someone than the mattress, sleep, too, because the mattress
says,
is...
Yeah, someone said sleep divorce is awesome. Interesting. That was a 2024 viral trend. We'll see if it continues in 2025. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. What are we hoping actually happens this weekend? That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. That comes with us in 2025 as well. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Coming up in about 40 minutes, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him on the broadcast from Denver Sunday afternoon. 3:25 kickoff right here on 96.5, The Fan. We'll get back to your text as more and more you are explaining the sleep divorce thing. And some of you are a fan of it. Some of you think it's absolutely crazy. I tend to agree.
Someone says just get bunk beds. And I can't think of something less sexual in nature than a bunk bed. That is just like the saddest.
Yeah,
I'd rather have a separate bed in a separate room. I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, than a bunk bed?
If you're in the same
what
room.
What am I, seven?
Climb up the ladder to get to
I got to climb up the ladder to get to my bed? I'm way too old for that.
Same room with a bunk bed? That's weird. Yeah, that's
that ain't going to work for me.
That's very weird. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, because we were talking about scenarios and everything, and what do we hope versus what do we think happens? So you guys know most of them by now. Obviously, the 1 and 2 seed in the AFC are locked up, Chiefs and Bills. Baltimore is locked in if they get a win or a Pittsburgh loss. They're locked into the 3 seed. Houston's totally done, 4 seed, nothing to play for. Pittsburgh gets locked in. They're battling, though, for AFC North, depending on what happens with the Ravens, or that 5th wild card spot so they don't fall back. The Chargers, they're in the playoffs, but they're battling for a wild card spot. And then we all know Denver, Cincy, Miami battling for the 7th and final AFC wild card spot. Those are the AFC scenarios and the ones that impact Kansas City and everything like that. I still think, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're talking about the best path, I know as fun as it would be to have Buffalo lose to Cincinnati in the opening round and you get knocked out Buffalo, I still think the best scenario is honestly Carson Wentz finds a way to win on Sunday with this young group. You beat the Broncos, you sweep the AFC West. For those of you that have a 6-1 ticket from the beginning of the season on an AFC West sweep, that's on the line Sunday. You get that taken care of, and then the Dolphins find a way to win. That to me is your best case scenario. Not that I think Miami's going to go beat the Buffalo Bills.
But we know Miami is not going to Kansas City in October and winning.
Like, still the best scenario should be the Chiefs winning this weekend. You should still want the Chiefs to find a way to win. Who cares if they lose? But like, that's the best scenario. They get to 16 wins, which would be they're already at 15, most in franchise history. You get into that, it ties the most wins in NFL season. All of that is in play.
Yeah, 16 wins, even though it wouldn't be an undefeated season, would be, as you mentioned, a tie for the most regular season wins in NFL history for the regular season. I'm fine. Like, I'm not going to be upset whether they win or lose. I will tell you there are still things to pay attention to in this game. Yeah. Like, one of the things we hadn't talked about yet, which is Carson Wentz. He could give me some confidence to know, and you've mentioned this, in 2 different playoff runs, the Kansas City Chiefs have, for at least a brief moment, relied on a backup quarterback to make sure that their title hopes stayed alive. Whether it be a 99-yard touchdown drive, and I think they can win that game even without it, or the game-sealing play in Chad Kenny's case against Cleveland in that first Super Bowl title run under Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes, especially because we already know he has a lingering high ankle sprain, sometimes he might just get rolled up on and need a couple of plays off, in which case Carson Wentz might be relied upon for a couple of snaps, a drive, a brief end-of-moment game. And if that's the case, I want to see him. I want to see DJ Humphreys. I still want to see some of the corners who've missed time, like Shamari Connor. Like, this game doesn't hold no value for Kansas City.
Carson Steele go out there and run like crazy, too.
Yeah,
you know,
agree.
Why not? I mean, he's someone that everybody was very high on. Obviously, had the fumbling problems early, and thank goodness they signed Kareem Hunt, and the rest is kind of history with how that worked out. But Kareem Hunt, probably not on this team next year. Carson Steele is. So you want to see, what does Carson Steele look like? Because there's a decent chance he's number two back or something like that for this team next year. I know we can talk off season. Should they draft a running back stuff? Plenty all off season. We got plenty of time for that till end of April, early May or whatever. But Carson Steele, someone that could be part of the future in the backfield. So not as the guy, but he will always be like a complimentary piece. I don't ever see Carson Steele being the guy in the backfield, which is fine. But I think, can you get through a whole game without fumbling? Can he get through a whole game without fumbling? And can he show that he can have success against? Remember, what's fun about this, the Denver Broncos are not resting their starters. We know they have to win. So unless everyone else can lose. But they have to win, you know? And so you're going up against their best and their best effort, you would think.
But they'll know if they have to win by the time that game kicks off, because Cincinnati will have either won or lost. Now, well, I guess
no, because Miami's the same time. That's why the NFL scheduled it that way. They didn't want the scenario where Miami had already lost and Cincinnati lost, and then the Broncos could rest.
They would know if they for sure have to win, because if Cincinnati wins, and they know they have to win, like there's no out in the scenario.
But either way,
that exists.
They have to do that because the Dolphins are playing at 3:25 as well, aren't they? So
yes, but there's still a chance, I guess, hypothetically, where you could get halfway through a game and Miami's getting their teeth kicked in by the Jets.
Sure, you look up at the score and it's 30-0 Jets.
And I think it'd be stupid to not pay attention to that. I know these teams are like, no, we got to focus on us. Nah, screw you. If you're worried about Nick Benito, like let's say twist an ankle in the middle of the game, and you look up and the Jets are beating them 30-0, you can dial it in the rest of the day. No more need to show anything else. Kansas City would be a team you'd have to face if you were able to win one single playoff game in the future. But yeah, for this weekend, the funniest possible results are the one you just said. What I want to happen, if you let me choose, Cincinnati loses to Pittsburgh, and then Miami wins their matchup, and then Carson Wentz goes on to beat Denver. Because if you're a Kansas City fan, Denver gets knocked out of the playoffs. Ha ha ha. Cincinnati gets knocked out of the playoffs. Ha ha ha. And Miami, who is currently starting Tyler Huntley, I assume would start Tua in a playoff game, sneaks in as a 7th seed and is probably the least threatening of those three teams, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The only other thing matters is you want the Ravens to win. You really need the Ravens to win. You don't want, in my opinion, the risk of that flipping and then the team you possibly have to face who comes out of the wild card games to be the Ravens, because that's the only scenario in which you have to play the Ravens and the Bills, which is the thing I think you want to avoid the most. You're not afraid of anybody. Don't take it that way.
But remember,
just
though,
if you're getting to choose
loses,
your path and it's choose your own adventure, you don't want to face both those teams.
But remember, though, if Baltimore loses and the Steelers lose, then it doesn't matter, too. Like, the Ravens don't have to win the North. If the Ravens lose and the Steelers lose
scenario,
to Cincy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Steelers win.
Because the Steelers still have to win their game, like, no matter what. Steelers have to win their game, even if the Ravens lose, in order to win the AFC North, as far as if I'm reading the scenario right.
But in my scenario, Cincinnati, wins, but so maybe they're knocked out anyway. But
yeah,
it just depends on how good. I'm just saying, like, the most important thing is actually that Ravens result. The other ones are just fun and games. How do you want it to go? Because I will continue to point out what we said a second ago, which is Cincinnati wins, so what? They either lose to Buffalo, and literally nothing changes. They're in the postseason.
Or they knocked out the 2 seed.
Yeah. Or they knocked out the 2 seed.
Who's been people's top 3
awesome
team all year. Yeah.
It is a really interesting way when you look at it, because you think, okay, we'd love for the Bills to get knocked out by the 7 seed, but the 7 seed
you
can't
have to play them. Yeah,
the 7 seed can't be the Dolphins, because the Dolphins are not beating the Bills.
I don't think so,
and we don't think the Broncos. You know,
like 1-20 again. Like, I mean, what is Miami? Well, honest to God, what is Miami's record over the last 10 years against Buffalo, or just in the Josh Allen era? It's got to be like 1-15 or something. I can't think of a single game Miami won.
Josh Allen
won.
Is 12-2 against the Dolphins.
Okay. I mean, well, it's not way off.
that was before the season, so I don't know what they're heading.
2-0. Well, they're 1-0. No, they haven't faced, 2-0.
So okay, so he's now, is that right? 14-2, is that correct?
I was dangerously close to the actual record there.
It looks like he was 11-2 in the regular season entering this year. and they played in the playoffs with they won. So 12-2 and then two more. Yeah, 14-2.
The Bills have the two seed locked up, correct?
Bills have nothing to play for. There's some play. Someone on the text line was asking about player incentives. Yeah, from a betting angle, there's some interesting prop bets. Like Von Miller's a sack or two away from another 100,000 or something.
It's like Chris Jones D-Hop. Getting in there for that final game last year.
Like D-Hop has some incentives. I don't think he's going to get one of them. One of them is like 9 catches and 140 yards, I think. There's three different incentives for D-Hop this weekend. There's some games that incentive-wise are interesting. You know, Geno Smith's like 185 yards for a meaningless Seattle game from getting an extra couple hundred thousand.
And what do we care? Yeah. I mean, I hope that the players...
If you're a team, if there's financial incentive, you should do your best to get them that. If not, you should take care of them anyway. Barkley is saying, you know, he's going for the NFL rushing record. They're not going to really let him do that. No. I get why. Like, totally get why he's not going to have that opportunity.
There are, like... Every year, there are teams who do it different. Like, Dan Campbell played his entire starting lineup in a game that meant nothing.
Yeah, I still think that was a mistake. I don't care that they got through it healthy. Everybody's like, try to applaud him for doing it. We're tough. Like, no. It still was a dumb decision. Thank goodness Jahmyr Gibbs didn't get hurt. I don't know why on earth they were running Jahmyr Gibbs the way they were running him in that football game.
I don't have
game.
Any idea, man.
It's not even about getting hurt. It's also that you got a short week now to play a game that will decide whether or not you're going on the road for the entire postseason.
You're not going to get another break. You were given a break, and you could have had it.
Yeah. So we'll see. I still disagree. I know that's like the unpopular take, like social media tough guy. Dan Campbell's the coolest guy on earth. And like, he's a tough guy. Like Dan Campbell's a hell of a coach, but like this notion of like, it's become like where now, if you disagree with anything Lions or Dan Campbell related, like you're viewed as like, just not the tough guy anymore. It's been very weird how that's become a thing on social media.
Because we're in the middle of the like weirdo NFL stretch, right? Where we'll get another games on Saturday. We just had days where we had Wednesday and then Thursday and then Saturday and then Sunday games. Can we all admit what's obvious here? Both for Christmas Day and across the board. Spreading it out this thin makes the slate stink.
Sure.
So much bad football. Sunday's noon slate. Ugh! What an awful grouping. And then there were two games in the 3 o'clock. Thank God we had Sunday night football.
That's why Nance and Romo are doing this, even this Sunday. That's why Nance and Romo are doing the Chiefs game with a backup quarterback because it's the only good CBS clinching game available. Nance and Romo are doing the Chiefs-Broncos game.
I know. Which makes no sense in a game where Carson Wentz is going to start.
But the NFL
Christmas Day games, those were the most... You're like, what if we squeezed a game into Wednesday? You got your answer. Don't. It was genuinely awful football in all three games. It was a massacre. It was a Christmas Day massacre. They all went down horribly. That Texans game, my God. And the Chiefs game wasn't close. I mean, just like, what a group.
That was way more enjoyable Christmas Day than a year ago. I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit,
actually. I'm sure Chiefs fans loved it.
It was a great day.
Oh, dude, no pressure.
That was the best win of the season.
Last year was awful with the loss of the Raiders. Everybody thought the season was done. This year, they played some of their best football of the year. Yeah, Drew, against the Steelers. So
they killed them.
Yeah, it was awfully impressive. It made the slate weaker. I'll say this, though, about the Christmas Day games. We know this is not stopping anytime soon. Like, the NFL is not going to... And I thought Netflix did a great job with the broadcast, by the way. I thought the entire crew and production value was really, really good. I thought they did a really nice job. But the thought of, oh, well, the games weren't good, so the NFL is going to back off. Of course not. No, that next year Christmas is on Thursday, so they will probably do the exact same thing on Thursday.
At least that's like a day rest that people are used to, not squeeze them into Saturday to squeeze them into Wednesday.
And they'll probably either play a Thursday night game that night and have three, or Amazon will move that game to Friday and they'll just do a Friday game and we'll have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Like, the NFL is not going away from this. And then, like, LeBron James of the Lakers was quoted after the Lakers win or whatever on Christmas Day, and all the NBA games were really, really good. And he said, look, I'm a fan of the NFL, but this is our day. Which I chuckled out loud because the NBA games were awesome. Like, they really were. They were quality wise. They were more entertaining.
Oh yeah, that star
games.
Power. Yeah, yeah. That like the LeBron say, Curry in that was all fun.
But to say it was it's the NBA's day. It's just factually inaccurate. Like, they have done it longer on Christmas Day, sure, but the ratings would tell you that it's not their day.
It was stolen from them.
I mean, it would be
they don't owe the NBA a damn thing. Like, the NFL owners don't owe the NBA anything. The NBA had record ratings for their product. Great for them. Mm-hmm. But the NFL still did massive numbers on Christmas Day. The NFL is king.
I think it was $25 million for the NFL and then $5 million for the NBA, which is up 84%, yeah, by the way,
for the NBA. It was a great day for the NBA.
Correct. This is the metaphorical and constant candy from a baby. If the NFL wants to just take the five-year-old's lollipop, they're a grown-ass adult man and can do whatever the hell they want. They can bury you. This is also why, like, college football should be so thankful that, for the most part, the NFL plays nice. Like, for the most part, the NFL gives you Saturday. Not the whole, but for the most part.
That's why they didn't do a Saturday night game last week. That Bengals-Broncos game was not Saturday night. It was Saturday afternoon, because Saturday night was what?
College football playoff.
It was a college football playoff.
They usually
game.
Play, but I'll just tell you right now, if it was a Saturday night game between two teams, it didn't matter. It would draw more than the college football playoff game.
Of course, yeah.
Because the NFL is king. They can do whatever they want. Like, I get why LeBron tried to say that. They just came out of this massive back and forth where I still don't know what your boy from Kansas, Andrew Wiggins, was doing on defense.
I was like, what? My,
on that final drive. Did you watch the end of that game? No. Andrew Wiggins just...
No.
He just stopped playing defense, Drew.
Yes, he did.
He just stopped playing defense. I also, we didn't even get that in the rundown today. Kansas is losing
home
conference games for the first time since, like, World War II?
Since I was born, legitimately, 1991. The last time they lost a conference opener was when I was born, yeah. Yeah, that was a pitiful, they looked like crap the entire game, but that's a whole different
conversation. Going into the season, I, like most people, thought Kansas was the number one team in the country. They're broken. I don't know what's wrong with that team.
Paper,
maybe
Bill's
a great coach.
Yeah, they've got issues.
So
it's also
he can,
January 2nd.
Some stuff.
They've got issues, no doubt. The transfers have not panned out, other than Zeke Mayo. But it's January, and I think it'd be foolish to be like, well,
yeah, I would rule them out, but it has not gone the way that we thought.
They're paying AJ Store $1 million to average 7 points a game.
But, like, as the text line pointed out, like, how long before they take over New Year's? Not long.
Yeah.
Like, they'll.
Do you think they'll do that? I really hope that they don't.
Just as long as it lands on a normal day, they will.
I don't think. Well, if it happens to be on a Sunday, of course.
Thursday
or
later.
I don't think they will, because late in the year, we thought Christmas was late. The last week of the season, they don't want to give a playoff advantage of a bye. You basically be giving a wild card team a bye. If let's say that wild card spot was up on a Thursday, let's say it was tonight. Let's, you know.
And they would want that. Amazon would want it flexed.
You'd be giving another buy. I don't think they'll do for that reason.
All right.
But I mean, I get it, though. The NFL's greedy, so.
Yeah, what if the NFL just put non-clinching games on Thursday night? You'd watch it tonight?
Sure.
If it were not, if their decision was, we're doing things on like these days too. We're just putting on non-clinching games to not give an advantage. So tonight, you get Panthers. I don't know who they'll play.
Sure.
Probably just some other non-Browns team.
I don't know.
Panthers, Browns. My God.
Gosh.
That would be bad. Is it because, though, like, the college football playoff is on ESPN? Is it because the NFL still would do the, I mean, I know that Prime is a different example, but if they ran games like, hey, we're going to have it on Fox, or we're going to have it, like, if it's local, do those numbers draw more? Because I don't know if people are more in tune with the NFL than anything else, but is it the local broadcast angle that would help them overtake a ESPN broadcast?
Yeah,
anything over the air
is going to have more opportunity to reach.
It's just
people.
Easier for people to access it.
Yeah, if it's over the air versus part of your cable package or Netflix, even though Netflix, you know, I know not literally everybody, but it seems like virtually everybody has Netflix. It's why that was so successful for them. You know, there's what was the number? 100 was it Prime and Netflix was 100 and was 150. 170 million subscribers. It was something crazy when we looked it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a huge chunk.
But yeah, over the air, if you put it on CBS, Fox, ABC, of course you're going to reach more. I mean, literally anybody can get it with bunny ears. So
yeah, that makes it a lot easier to get in there. But yeah, it's hard because, like, they'll always sacrifice the product versus it. And because this time the Chiefs survived it. The Chiefs went 3-0. They gave themselves a month off. They created their own bye week scenario by winning a lot of football games and doing it the way they had to do it. But it shouldn't have to be like that. Meanwhile, does anyone else want to admit, like you said the thing earlier, the Steelers are playing way worse football. Do we happen to think that maybe that has something to do with the fact that they just had to play 3 times in 10 days? Yeah, probably. That's probably taking a toll on a less good team than the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns, they had to play 3-10 too, or the Ravens had to play 3-10, so did the Texans. Texans also playing horrible football.
But they also had, like, the Texans and Ravens had a week 14 bye.
Yeah.
So they did get a break right before that brutal stretch. That was the difference.
Yeah.
The text line, someone says, I'm 17 years old. What are bunny ears? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I still keep him in the house, man. I like watching the Chiefs game.
Mine's just the indoor antenna, mine doesn't actually have the bunny ears anymore.
No, mine doesn't.
Okay, all right, just checking. I was like, well, you actually have the...
No, mine's just like a rectangle.
Okay.
Or whatever
The HD antenna thing.
Not actual bunny ears. No, plugged in with a paperclip.
Yeah.
You can still make that work with a paperclip. Mm-hmm. You don't even actually need bunny ears, you know?
I have the indoor antenna for the same reason you do, where we hate the delay on the CBS games or ABC games or whatever.
I don't know who gave this tip on the text line, but I'm going to give this tip to everyone else because I blew someone else away over the holiday with this. On YouTube TV, you can reduce the delay.
Oh, yeah.
We did not know about that. Someone on the text line had tipped us off to it. Do yourselves a favor. You can reduce the amount of delay on YouTube TV to a reasonable amount. At least you're not 35 seconds behind.
Yeah, when you're on the channel, you go down to the... When you're in YouTube TV, you go down to the menu, and it'll literally say delay normal or, you know... Whatever it is, like, you know, you can process slow or whatever the wording is, but it's an easy switch. It takes 2 seconds to do once you find it in the menu on YouTube TV.
Yeah. Just do yourself a favor. I mean, it makes sense. It's the easiest thing in the world. You had mentioned earlier the players we wanted to see in the game.
Yeah.
Neither of us want to see Isaiah Pacheco, but like, what's...
He's got ribs or tender right now. No reason for him to play.
Yeah, but also, first, one thing that's already decided over these last couple of games... He's not your short yardage back.
No, so, like, he doesn't have the vision. He doesn't have the vision that Kareem Hunt has.
Just stop making that try to happen. Carson Steele, Kareem Hunt, and Samaje Perine are all people I would rather see on third and one than Pacheco. That's not to say I have no use for Pacheco. Just on third and one, I'd rather see those other backs. He's not right.
He had serious ankle surgery, and has he been back maybe for a month now? Something like that. But I think on short yardage is where it's been so evident since we've seen Kareem Hunt in this offense. Kareem Hunt has really good vision. Kareem Hunt is able to see a little bit better. It's been more evident now. I also think just Pacheco and his running style, I think, is really impacted still by the ankle. And I don't believe he's 100% what he was back on September 1st. That is now here on January 2nd. Kareem, I think it's more about Kareem Hunt being as good as he has been in short yards. Like, it's made it stand out more that there's clearly a lack of vision there's a gap between Hunt and Pacheco in that.
Well, in the way
Pacheco's still going to come up with a huge play for them in the postseason. I don't think that won't happen. But short yardage, fourth and one, got to have it because we know they won't do a QB sneak. Kareem Hunt should be the running back getting the ball.
Well, and I also think that job should be a timeshare. If you had told me that months ago that Pacheco came, yes, but it should stay that way. Like, I would have thought months ago, and you and I both agreed that when Pacheco came back, he'd be the lead back, and then maybe Kareem Hunt would get every third drive, right? A 70-30 split. Nah, it should be 50-50. Until Pacheco shows those old ways or those things, then you kind of have to find the other ways in order to mix it up. He just doesn't, like, the thing that stands, it just doesn't look like he's healthy still. And this, by the way, this happens to running backs all the time. This is not new information. For 2 years, he looked like the stalking horse, right? Here he comes, running through a wall. Isaiah Pacheco can do no wrong. Had a couple of injuries pile up, like happens with NFL running backs, and then they're never quite the same back they ever were again. Doesn't mean that there's not a good year left in there, 2 years left in there, maybe for Pacheco.
He's got a year left on his contract. So.
But that's probably it.
But that was also most likely the scenario anyway. You drafted, you know, you have a running back and you're going to run out the rookie contract and then you're going to move on. I mean, Clyde was a little more unique because they didn't pick up the option. He hit free agency, right? And then he came back and then now we all know how it's transpired since then. So that's a little bit different. But unless you're, you know, the few times, right, the Derrick Henrys, I guess Zeke Elliott did this too with Dallas. We'll see what Atlanta does in a couple of years with Bijan Robinson and stuff like that. Unless you're those kind of guys, even Saquon struggled to get paid in New York for a little while, right? I mean, ultimately, the way that he was like on a 1 year deal last year, and then he signs a big deal and it's turned out very well for Philadelphia. So it's a normal thing, even if you're one of the top backs in the league.
Well, it goes all the way back to Ugold, I think, before the season said this is the last full healthy year for, like, this is the last good year for Pacheco.
Yeah, I think I said, the last year you can really count on Isaiah Pacheco, I think, is what I said.
And we didn't even get through the whole year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and it's the life of the NFL running back. It stinks. It is not a good life. The most money Pacheco will ever make is, like, hopefully he'll sign a 3-year deal for like $12 million for some team after this. And yeah, I wish for his sake and everyone else who had to play that really brutal position.
Oh, fan favorite for sure.
It was
too.
More. I wish it was more.
I still think it's just not the way
the industry works.
In the playoffs, though, I wouldn't count him out of coming up with a big-time play, though, whether it's a run, whether it's a catch out of the backfield. I still think give him a bye week, too. I'm in agreement with you on the short yard stuff, but 25 years old, an extra bye week, I would not surprise me if divisional round game, AFC title game, if Pacheco still comes up with a big moment, big play for this team. Coming up next, we're going to talk more Chiefs, of course, with our Chiefs analyst, Chiefs insider, Danian Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He's going to be in Denver on the call come Sunday afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll get his perspective on how to handle this week and also ask him about what we continue to see from Xavier Worthy.